Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
We will know that it is the Lord. Yan po yung title natin. This morning, we will know that it is the Lord. And that's a beautiful assurance, no, na sa mga pagkakataon po na, you know, we cannot hear the Lord. We are having a hard time recognizing the Lord. The Lord will come to us not in a way that is vague, not in a way na parang nagdududa ka, ang Panginoon ba talaga yon? When the Lord comes to us, we will know that it is the Lord. That's our title this morning. And if our writers, or if writers have what they call as writer's block, when writers could not write, when writers could not have their creative juices or their writing juices work, they could not do what they're supposed to do, which is writing. Sometimes as Christians, we are supposed to testify of the gospel. No, yung trabaho na iniwan po sa atin ng Panginoon na tayo po yung kanyang maging instrumento upang ang ebanghelyo ni Kristo ay maririnig pa ng maraming tao. But many times we are so discouraged in life. Ang dami po nangyayari sa isipan natin, gulong-gulo na po yung puso natin, daming problema sa pamilya natin. And the last thing we want to do is to testify of Christ. Di po ba? Lahat po tayo dumadaan sa mga ganitong punto, no, ng ating buhay. And the sad reality is I know that testifying of Christ to many of us does not seem to matter at all. Di po ba? In fact, if you look at your New Year's resolution, if you are making your resolutions, and I realize as Christians, it's good to make resolutions. And I bet that many of us, when we look at our resolutions, it might not include there that this year we want to testify of the gospel of Christ. Many of us, wala po yun sa resolutions natin. I'm pretty sure of that. This shows us that, you know, ang tingin po natin sa buhay natin, we still don't look at life in the lens of Scripture. We still are caught up with our small stories, and we are not in awe of the big story. We are still reading our stories separate from the big story of how God has saved us. And yet, if you look at Scripture, we understand that the real story is that man has sinned against God. That's the real story. And the real story is that we have been separated from God, nahiwalay po tayo sa Panginoon, because of our sins. And if it was not because of God's goodness to us who planned from eternity past to redeem us through the beautiful work of His Son Jesus Christ in the cross of Calvary, you and I can be caught up with our small stories and maybe enjoy our small stories here on earth. But the sure thing to happen is that however good your small stories is, you'll go to hell. Because if we see Christ in that way and we see life in that way, then we understand that Jesus stands at the center of history to bring hope to us, to bring hope to sinners. And if Jesus alone can bring hope to every one of us, then we understand that we have seen Him who is most beautiful. That any achievements on earth will never be compared or cannot be compared to Jesus Himself. We have seen Him. We have seen the Lord. And for those who have really seen the Lord and have come to understand how beautiful He is, will come to understand the great privilege of pointing people to Him. Of pointing Jesus to people. To be exact. That's the most important thing. Have you ever Have you ever watched a movie that was beautiful? Have you ever seen a beautiful place? You were the first one to see it from all of your families. Were you not excited to tell your family, we've been there, it's a beautiful place, I hope you will see that? And that's supposed to be what should happen to us because we have seen Him who is most beautiful, namely Jesus Christ. Without it, what does become the meaning of life? If we don't live for Christ and to testify of His goodness, what does become the meaning of life? To be comfortable? To be convenient? To be successful? To be safe? But let me ask you this question. Isn't it that the world lived for these things? And isn't it the reason why their lives is meaningless? Because Christ gives meaning to life. If I live to be successful, yes, I can be successful, but at the end of the day, it's meaningless because I will eventually lose it. There's no eternal value into these things. Christ gives meaning to our lives because everything we do now has eternal significance. Because the things that we do can have eternal repercussion. That gives meaning to life. Christ gives meaning to our lives. Thus, to live to testify of Christ, we want to work well so that people will know Christ. We want to live a righteous life so that people will know Christ. We want to help people so that people will know Christ. That is the meaning of life. Therefore, if you are dry today, you're thinking, you know, this year, wala sa plano ko to commit to the Lord. You know, I'm guilt-stricken. I just want to do my plans. I just hope that my plan this year would work. And we do not have any passion to testify of the gospel of Christ. We cannot stay that way because it is almost choosing a meaningless and boring life. It is almost choosing a boring. I don't care how successful you are. If you don't live for Jesus, you are empty. Life is meaningless. Now, if writers go on a solitude, they would travel just to spice up things and get their ideas and enthusiasm to write flowing again. They want to be restored. They want to be refreshed. What is the hope for us? To be enthusiastic again in serving and proclaiming Christ again. What is the hope for us? Maybe a year already, 2 years already, 3 years already, you're just living for this world and you're never really living for Christ. Is there hope for us to get those juices again? The truth that Jesus is God who became man and came to make a way for sinners, meaning He is the Christ, what the book of John is all about, by the way, so that we can come to the Father meant nothing if Jesus remained in the tomb. Prior to John 21, we know that what John labored hard is that we will understand that Jesus is the Christ. But Jesus have already appeared. He already appeared twice to the disciples prior to this morning, to this beautiful morning breakfast with Jesus on the side of the sea. He already appeared to them twice. They knew that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. Verse 14 of John 21, if you read it, we are told by John straight that this is the third time that Jesus revealed to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. Pangatlong beses na po ito. Now, let me point that this is very important to the disciple of Jesus, yung pag-appear ni Jesus. Because yung work po ng mga apostle, itong mga disciple ni Jesus, they will become the apostles, of course, is to testify of the risen Christ. So napaka-importante sa kanila na ilang beses nagpakita ang Panginoon upang at the end of the day, in their doubt moments, they are certain. You know, nahirapan ako, dark things, but I could not be mistaken. Jesus did not reveal to himself to me after the resurrection just once. We had breakfast together. He really resurrected from the dead. However, etong mga disciples na to, they knew, alam na po nila that Jesus have resurrected from the dead, the disciples were without strength at all to carry on. Mararamdaman po natin dito sa umagang ito na kinatagpo sila ng Panginoon that they are without spirit. Ano, parang tayo pag-gising sa umaga, pag-depressed tayo, parang ayaw nating bumangon. They were at this point. And Jesus had to save them from their own self. You know, if you're discouraged, you're guilt-stricken, pumapasok sa mind natin, alis na lang ako somewhere, magsimula ako somewhere. You know, and anyway, kahit hindi na ako makapag-serve sa Panginoon, basta ma-provide ko lang yung pamilya ko, matapos ko lang yung pag-aaral ko, okay na ako dun. We have this tendency to settle down outside the will of God. And the truth of the matter, if Jesus would not come to us over and over again, we would have been given over to ourselves. So this beautiful passage this morning is a hope for us who, like the disciples, we can easily get discouraged. Life can easily get dark. Gets dark for us. This is what our passage is all about, which makes us realize that it is not enough to intellectually know. It is not enough to intellectually know the life, death, and resurrection of Christ without Christ's initiative. Kung wala po yung initiative ni Christ to continually show himself and be intimate with us if we are to live to testify the gospel. That's why sometimes wala po talaga tayong gana na mag-share ng gospel because the truth is, hindi na natin na-experience si Kristo. Wala na po tayong intimacy with Christ. And as if life can be lived that way, as if we can testify of Christ without experiencing Christ. It just doesn't work that way. So unless Christ is real to us, we will be caught up with our discouragement. Instead of testifying of Him, we'll be caught up. What is the importance of being certain of the presence of the risen Christ in our dark times to our joy and our passion to the work of the gospel? That's what we need, what we want to answer today. What is the importance of being certain of the presence of the risen Christ in our dark times to our joy and our passion to the work of the gospel? Now today we will change this. Usually we will give you the main idea first. They will break down that main idea. Today we'll have the 3 points, and then we will have the main idea at the end. So first, it is important because we have the tendency to make our own plans during dark times. We have the tendency to make our own plans during dark times. But when life is difficult, our self-centeredness would make us choose self-preservation instead of living for Christ. We have the tendency to entertain the idea that we can just live a life other than obeying Christ. Some of us will toy the idea that pursuing what we want instead of what Christ wants would work. And yet, reading of how Peter and the other 6 disciples, there were 7 of them in this beautiful morning, reading of them who were simply coasting along at this point and were losing their joy in Christ makes us feel like there is something wrong. Have you felt that? You read that, why are you planning to go back fishing? You were called by Jesus to be fishers of men. You are not supposed to be fishing fish anymore. You're supposed to be fishing men. Isn't it? Like, there is something disagreement within us. I disagree with you, Peter. Don't mislead the rest of the disciples. And yet that's your story. And this is our story. There's something lamentable when we forget about the will of God and the work of God and just think that we can live outside the will of the Lord. The story is not only about how Jesus with his disciples was with his disciples in this beautiful morning, though he was. It was not simply the story. It is about Jesus revealing himself to them in an unmistakable way. You could not mistake Jesus in this morning. John hinted us in verse 1 that Jesus actually revealed himself in this way. It's how Jesus revealed himself. The story is about how Jesus revealed himself that very beautiful morning. And of course, John's words in verse 7 saying, "It is the Lord," and his comment about the disciples being silent in verse 12 saying they knew it was the Lord makes us understand that Jesus will reveal himself in a way that we know that it is him, which is, by the way, everything when we talk about being strengthened when we are weak. To know that it is Christ. Remember Elijah. He knew that he was the voice of the Lord. And it was all that matters. To know that it is God, to know that it is Jesus, is what our souls need. It is clear that Peter, Nathanael, Thomas, James, John, the two sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples, which makes seven of them that morning, were downcast. They were. After we are being told that seven of them were together, verse 2, all seven of them were together, we learned of how they all agreed to go on fishing in verse 3. Upon reading that one, like, all of them were together, and when one said, "I go fishing," and then the rest would say, let us follow you, we'll all go fishing. I remember when my mom died, and after we buried her, my siblings and I found each other wanting to stay together. Like just few more days. Condolence to Charlene. And I felt like, I don't know if that's true with them, after they buried her mother, maybe they wanted to stay together. So when they're trying to stay together here, this is John's way of saying that despite of the fact that Jesus had already revealed himself twice to them before this particular morning, they had not gotten over the fact that Jesus would no longer be with them physically. I think the sadness that morning is not because they still did not know that Jesus resurrected from the dead, but the thought that Jesus would no longer be there physically was too much to bear for these growing disciples. They still were not able to grasp what Jesus had been telling them all these times. That he would go to the cross, resurrect from the dead, because that is the way by which Jesus can open the door for them to also go to the Father. And then if Jesus goes to the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit to be with them, which is, according to Jesus, in John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." That's the beautiful plan of God. Plan the redemption. Jesus will accomplish the redemption. I will send the Holy Spirit so that you will not be orphans, and you will experience the same power that you see in me in your ministry. And Jesus says, it is actually an advantage. But for them, they could not get over. No, I don't care about the plan of God. We want you to stay with us physically. We can almost feel the heart of Peter when he said, "I am going fishing." Which is clearly the same heart as the rest who's responded saying, "We will go with you." And yes, you can argue with me and say, "Pastor, maybe they did not think deeply during this time. This is a spur of the moment." For sure. That they really did not thought deeply that we are changing course, we are changing directions in our lives. However, we cannot help but see that they might have thought that their lives of literally following Jesus, remember that it was a hell of 3 years. Sorry. It was a hell of 3 years going there, witnessing miracles, eating from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, seeing a blind man see, a lame walk. It was a quick 3 years. There were so many things, and it was a great year, and they would have thought, wow, this will be what we will do throughout the rest of the year, but Jesus has died. It's time to move on. Go on fishing now. Like anyone else, though, who loved their work, maybe you are one time, but it has come to an end. And have no choice but to move on. I remember my first job. I loved that because I was an attendant in a sports club. I like it because in the morning I'm working, but I'm playing basketball. At lunchtime I'm playing golf, bowling. I did all those things. I just loved it. As an athlete, that was a good job for me. And then our general manager called our department, and I was so used with other departments calling us that I know that it is not a member of the club. And so usually we just joke around. So when I hear the sound of the voice, like, oh, she's also an employee. So I said, sino pala to? That answer cost me my job. I left the job. I was bitter. I was so bitter. I don't want to leave the job, but it's time to move on. These disciples loved their job for the past 3 years. But now, they have to move forward, and you can sense that they were doing this with a heavy heart. And yes, they do not understand yet everything that Jesus taught, but nonetheless, the discouragement, the loneliness, the sadness, the gloominess of the day was real. It was real to the disciples. And their action here pictures the instinct of most of us. Like, the discouraged tayo, things did not work. And we feel like it's time to start anew instead of wait for God. There, we want to start anew so that we can convince ourselves, well, I lost that. I could no longer serve, at least in our mind. But at least I still have reason to live. Just to cope up with our depression. I could no longer serve, but I have to live because I have kids. And the truth is, if Christ did not intervene that morning, the disciples would have been back to their old life. And this is the beauty of this passage. This is why this passage brings hope to us. Jesus will always come to keep us, his disciples, from ourselves, keeping us from turning away from his will, because he knew that the best of us is him and his will. The presence of Christ in our discouraging times is very important, because without it, we would have been given over to ourselves. We would have gone and just live for the practical things in life, and yet very much aware that we are no longer living in the will of God, which might be prosperous. You can be prosperous, by the way, physically. But certainly, if you are living outside the will of Christ, it is meaningless. Because it is because prosperity is not what gives life to all, but Christ. So we need the presence of Christ because we have the tendency to run away from Christ when we are discouraged, isn't it? The disciples thought that the way to get rid of their discouragement is to start anew somewhere. But Jesus knew it was his presence that they need. that morning. They thought, maybe we just have to start anew. That's their thinking. But Jesus knew, no, you don't need a new start. You need my presence. And sometimes you're tired. We need a vacation. You just came from a vacation. You need another vacation. Sometimes you toy around with, what I need is to go somewhere. I just said, no, what you need is Sabbath. What you need is Sunday. When you can refocus yourself to the Lord. This leads us to the second point. Jesus will do things which will make us recognize that it is Him. He will do things in a peculiar way, unique way, that you really know that it is Him. That the disciples turned again to something else instead of looking unto Christ means that they still need Jesus to continually teach them. This is crazy because 3 years of being in Bible school and your teacher is the greatest teacher, Jesus, after 3 years, they still need Jesus to teach them. What they hope to be the thing that they will be doing from here, now that they could no longer have their lives for the past 3 years, flopped. It flopped. It didn't work, isn't it? It didn't work. And let me tell you, that morning they caught nothing, not because Jesus did not love them, but because Jesus loved them. Sometimes life flops, not because God does not love us, but because God loves us. Failures can be God's way of loving us. According to verse 3, that night they caught nothing. They caught not a thing that night. Well, in every profession or business, things like this are rather normal. I understand that. Well, you can argue and say, Pastor, what's wrong with that? You know, it's normal to fail. Just keep on pressing. But that's not the message that John wants us to see here. The message is clear. The theme of Christ's sufficiency, yung kasapatan ni Cristo, is rather big, not small in the book of John. It is one of the biggest theme in the book of John. It is the point of the seven I am's statements of Jesus in the book. For example, Jesus said, I am the vine. And what is the implication of saying, I am the vine? Jesus said, apart from me, you cannot do anything. But maybe John chapter 6 is the most graphic. Jesus intended to ask to the disciples and say, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? I remember them saying, well, what do we have? And they were stuck with their 5 loaves of bread. Their eyes were on it. And of course, if your eyes are on the things that you have, the obvious answer is, what are these among so many? But we know the point of the story. Jesus would have hoped that at that point they have already understood that you are not supposed to look on what you have. You are supposed to look on me, your sufficiency. I am your sufficiency. He wanted them to look on Him, not on the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's what makes it a problem, a problem. The bigger problem is not your problem. The bigger problem is you're looking at your problem and not on Jesus. Instead of just a normal thing, when you start a new career, John is showing that Jesus has to teach them the basic lesson of Christianity again. And the basic lesson of Christianity is that Jesus is our sufficiency. This is the point of verse 4 to verse 7a. Displayed by, if you look at verse 4, we are told that they did not know that it was the Lord. And then in verse 7, John said, it was the Lord. They were moved from not knowing that it was the Lord to knowing that it was the Lord. The question is, what moved them from not knowing to knowing that it was the Lord? That was the center of these verses. The great catch that morning had been shocking to them. who knew very well that they caught nothing. I think Jesus was strategic to ask, do you have any catch? So that it will be coming from them. They are conscious that they caught nothing. Their answer in verse 5 is no, zero. And what could have been the crazy idea here? I find it very crazy. You're tired. You know that there's nothing, but Jesus said, throw it again. The crazy thing is they threw it again. It is a testimony of Jesus's authoritative words. Now, we are not told by John of some dramatic effect of the huge catch to them, like in Luke 5. We did not see Peter throwing himself before Jesus and saying, away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. We do not see any drama here. But through that huge catch, 153 large fish, in verse 11, they said it's a roundup. Some people says it's a Hebrew way of numbering. I find it literal. It's so easy to count fish, right? 153 large fish. John, through that huge catch, here's the dramatic here. John recognized Christ. Verse 11 reads, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. It's beautiful. It must have come to John as a great reminder of the lesson that they were taught over and over again, but always forgot when they were in overwhelming situation or dark times, isn't it? This is the basic lesson that we have learned from day one. Jesus is sufficient. But when problem comes, we are having a hard time understanding this basic lesson in Christianity that Jesus is our sufficiency. We have the same problem as they are, as they were. They don't have to go on fishing, go back fishing. Because if they have Jesus, and they would, although no longer physically moving forward, but spiritually through the Holy Spirit, they have everything. Jesus will be sufficient for their every need. Didn't Jesus said this very words to Paul, who also thought that the solution to this problem is that the problem will be taken out? And the same words that Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. If we are tempted to carve our own way and live the will of God, because many times our own way is more, appeals more to our mind than the will of God. Remember that Jesus is your sufficiency. As people who have witnessed how Jesus satisfied their needs, and now Jesus satisfied their needs, they knew it was the Lord. The way God works is so peculiar, so unique, that everyone who experienced this working of God in the past know that no one can do it but the Lord. See, the story was not simply that John recognized the Lord. It was not simply the story. It was the Lord's intention that they would recognize him through the catch. Because it was not about the catch. There was no other reason. Because before they even brought the catch to Jesus, there were fish on the charcoal. There were bread on the charcoal. Breakfast is ready even before they brought the fish to Jesus. Jesus did not say, wala tayong pang breakfast. May throw it again para may makain naman tayo. No, that was not the point. Jesus was not asking them to throw it again para may pang breakfast man lang sila. No, Jesus said, throw it again so you will know that it is me. It was not so that they would have breakfast. It was so that they would be reminded of the sufficiency of Christ. It was so that they would recognize that it was the Lord. Maybe the Lord puts us into a situation where he can work so that you will be reminded that you are so busy, mukha ka ng bruha. Because you thought that sufficiency is here and there. And you have forgotten that your sufficiency is the Lord. When the Lord works in our situation, didn't we always know for certain that it is the Lord? We're quite worried when we start Cruciform Life Church. We run out of finances and we do not know on that particular month where to get the money to pay for our rent. I was praying for weeks for God's provision. But really, I already found myself thinking, what are the practical things we can do? Wala din akong mabibenta personally. And I was toying in the mind that maybe this is wrong. And I'm readying myself that maybe like any other churches, because ang daming churches na closed down at that time, it was pandemic, then at least marami naman din, then maybe we can close down as well. It was Saturday night and I was about to sleep. And I received a message from Jillian about a family who wanted to give an amount. On that same night, it led to a series of exchanges of messages. And before I went to sleep, I was in disbelief that a family that we do not know, they are not from the church, they're not also from the church now, just donated $500,000 to the church. And I think it was not about the $500,000. It was a strong message from God. I am your sufficiency. And at that night, I know, no, this is not about this family. This is not about Jillian. I know it was the Lord. I don't have to sketch my plan. How great is it that Jesus will keep us from ourselves, making our own plans instead of obeying Him when we are discouraged, by doing something which will not only remind us that He is our sufficiency, but in a way that we unmistakably know that it is Him. As I've said earlier, what our soul needs is to be certain that it is the Lord. We forget the Lord and His sufficiency, but praise God, He reminds us in an unmistakable way to keep us from ourselves. Yes, they knew it was the Lord, but how will the Lord treat them? This is now moving in the story. Okay, this is the Lord. But wait, didn't we forsake Him? What will happen to this beautiful morning? To this wonderful morning? They recognize Jesus. But what will happen to this time with Jesus? Can you sense the awkwardness of this breakfast? Very awkward. This leads us to our third point, which will focus on the graciousness of Jesus. And you will not be mistaken that it's Jesus because of that peculiar grace that He alone gives. Third point, Jesus will initiate an intimate fellowship with us, which will leave us no doubt that it is Him. He will initiate an intimate fellowship with us, which will leave us no doubt that it is Him. Seems like Jesus fully understood the grief of the disciples. The disciples had, and in this morning, He was not there to rebuke them, but to strengthen them through initiating an intimate and gracious fellowship, which marks the person of Jesus. Di ba? Pagkakasama mo yung tao, tas kilala mo na yung tao, ito na naman ito, kukondem na naman ako nito. Kaya paparating pa lang, umiwas ka na. Lalo pag nag-fail ka, tapos, alam ko na maririnig nito eh. And you would think that the disciples would know, oh, this, anong maririnig natin this morning? Again, this is the third time that Jesus appeared to them. But what is frustrating is that the truth that Jesus had already resurrected from the dead, but it still did not bring joy or security to these disciples. They were still downcast. It seemed like they lost their hope. And it would have been totally justifiable if Jesus came to them ranting against the slowness of their hearts. Oh, you disciples of slow heart, can't you still get this? The silence from the disciples says everything. Can you sense? It was very silent. Says everything about what was happening in their heart. Even Peter, look at Peter, this foot-shaped mouth disciple who speaks before he thinks, did not say a word. If Jesus did not ask him after breakfast, he would not have said any. But notice carefully, Jesus did not speak of anything regarding seeming unbelief. Why are you so slow to believe? Nor get back on them for forsaking him. Surely they might have thought that at some point, Jesus would confront us for forsaking him. Peter, who easily gets excited, jumped out of the boat and went to Jesus. Well, the others managed to bring the catch to the shore. He did not say anything when he was finally with Jesus. He was rushing to Jesus, but when he was with Jesus, awkward. He did not say anything. The only thing that he could do was to help the others haul the fish when Jesus asked to bring the catch in verses 10 to 11. But instead of telling them, let's talk about how you have forsaken me so we can put this behind us. They saw some fish grilled on the charcoal fire and some bread. They saw that Jesus was cooking. No, don't tell me that after all that had happened, our relationship is intact. He must have thought of replacing us now with some faithful men because we were not faithful. After all, we have been unfaithful. What will he tell us? I hope he will not break the silence. I would rather be silent all this time and Jesus leave us. I would rather live in the silence now, but to no avail. Jesus broke the silence. But wait, what did he just say? Did I hear him right? Come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Oh, I thought I'll be scolded. Come and have breakfast. We know this. I know this. I grew up in this culture. When someone offers a meal, he's saying we have a relationship. He's saying he is still intimate with us. He's saying that everything that we have done has not affected our relationship with him. Oh, but this reminds us. This is Jesus. He has always been like this. He has always been gracious. We have not experienced such grace like this from anyone but the Lord. Such graciousness of the Lord, which always makes us feel that despite of the fact that we have sinned, I've never felt condemned by him, not once. And all this time that I was with him, I keep on sinning, but I never felt that my sin has gotten in the way of his love towards me. We know this. We are familiar with this grace. This is the Lord. They only felt it from the Lord. They did not feel it from their mother na pagka nagkasala. Ako, batugan ka? They did not feel it from their spouse na pagka nagkasala, ano ka ba? Parati na lang nagpaulit-ulit. They never felt that. All they felt with Jesus is grace. Come and have breakfast. They knew it was the Lord. And they were speechless. This grace of Jesus this morning left them speechless. This grace is so humbling that would leave us speechless, but at the same time floods our hearts with joy. John commented in verse 12. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And the only thing they knew, the next thing they knew is that breakfast is ready. Verse 13 says, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Jesus did not say a word. But that the disciples were certain that their sins did not affect Jesus' love for them. Not a bit. They knew it was the Lord. You know that when you sin against God, and there is such assurance and grace in our hearts that the Lord accepts us. Once we experience that, we know it is the Lord. When we forget this or doubt this, when we sin, this is still the peculiar, unique, one-of-a-kind kind of grace that the Lord has. And like his attitude towards the disciples that morning, didn't Jesus come to us all the time with such grace, even after we sinned against him? Didn't the Bible says that when you come in prayer and you are so condemned, didn't the Bible says that it's Satan who is the accuser and the condemner of the brethren and not Jesus? Didn't Paul said that there is now no condemnation? Have you ever prayed and then you were guilt-stricken and you were condemned, and then afterwards you said, "It must be the Lord. The Lord condemned me." No, it was not the Lord. It was yourself. But you know that it is the Lord because his grace is sufficient. His grace is greater than our sins. I could almost hear these disciples saying, "Wow, really? We forsook him? And now we are having breakfast with them? Nothing has changed? I could not believe that the Lord still loves me the same. And I could still serve him. I could still serve him." Is that for me too, Pastor? That grace of Jesus to the disciple, is that for me? Yes, that's for you. That's for me. You may have failed him and have been guilty of also entertaining the thought of just living your own way, but expect Jesus to come with the same grace. There is hope to be restored. If months already you have not been able to pray, you have not been serving the Lord, there's hope to be restored and find ourselves serving the Lord again despite of every failure. And listen, when Jesus comes to us with his grace, we will know that it is the Lord. Because no one lets us feel so accepted but Jesus. You will know that it is him. And when you experience such grace from him, all your guilt will be replaced by assurance that your relationship with him is the same and there is still room for you in the work of the Lord. This leads us to our main idea. Jesus will not only do things, but will initiate an intimate fellowship with us that will make us certain of his restoring presence and be strengthened to testify him. As I've said earlier, Elijah, he was so discouraged, waiting, going into that cave, and he thought, "The Lord is powerful, it must be in the fire." The Lord is not in the fire. I just saw how powerful God is. God will do it again. He sent fire from heaven. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Why? Elijah was depressed. And what Elijah needs at that point is the gentle care of God. And this is our Jesus. The Bible says He is so gentle that even the smoldering wick will not snuff out. Yung halos mamatay na na pabilo ba yan? Sa Tagalog? Ano ba yun sa Tagalog? Yung wick. Anyway, even the battered reed na sira-sira na ng flood, He will be so gentle not to break any of it. Jesus knew that the disciples at that time was so weak, it was not rebuke that they need. And you can expect that Jesus knew when we are so weak, and He does not come with His rebuke. He comes with His gentleness. In Psalm 138, a psalm where David have told of how the Lord increased the strength of his soul. Verse 3, Psalm 138. And it is because of God's glory is displayed by how He strengthens the lowly, though he is high. I think verse 6. David's realization in Psalm 138 is this. After realizing the Lord will strengthen me in my weakness, because He is a God who, though He is high, He will look down on the lowly. David said on verse 8, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The work of strengthening the weak. I don't know if we are also doubting at this point of your life or our lives, if we can still do what the Lord has called us. But maybe we were like these disciples, discouraged at this point of our lives. But the clear message of God today is that Jesus knows how to strengthen us with His powerfully peculiar, yet assuring presence. The truth is, we will never know how much Jesus has been keeping us from ourselves. So that there were millions of times that we would have run away, that we would have lived our own way. Yet we are still here fighting to live for Christ because Jesus has been saving us from ourselves. Thank God that He will never give up on us, but He will only continue to strengthen us. That's why when we are discouraged, our prayer should not be, Lord, free us from the problems, or tanggalin mo na lang tong ministry na to, Lord, nahirapan na ako eh. Lord, pwede bang one of the workers na lang ako sa church, hindi na ako yung pastor, ang bigat nito eh. That is not the prayer to be freed from the problems. The prayer should be, Lord, let me experience your intimacy in my dark moments. That should be the prayer. Because that's the will of Jesus for those who are discouraged. If we understand that Jesus is our sufficiency, and His unchanging grace towards us who believe, then, despite of our failures, come to Jesus and pray, restore me, and be intimate with me again. I come to understand that my greatest need is You. So with that, we can be certain that the risen Christ will come to us in the dark moments of our faith, because it is important to Him that we always experience His restoring and intimate presence and be strengthened to testify of Him.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org. Or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.